Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 111 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we have a user requested topic. Listener generated topic. So we're going to run through this actually in quite a lot of detail, which isn't usually kind of something that we do, but we thought that this situation is going to have a lot of angles that are relevant to what a lot of people in long distance relationships are going through. So we are going to be running through it kind of bit by bit. There's a lot of kind of themes and issues we know are common that this person's dealing with, so we are going to try and pick it apart as best we can and also try and make sure that it applies to different scenarios that might be similar to this one. So, Rich, do you want to kind of jump in and give us a summary of what this listener is going through?
Yeah, okay, so we had this email
a few weeks ago now.
Yeah, a few weeks ago in January, from a listener who, basically, she got into a long-distance relationship in 2017, started talking with her, what became her boyfriend, for 3 years. So until 2020, they made it official earlier in 2020, and then in September, they booked a trip to meet for the first time in December. I say they booked a trip, she was going to go and see him in December.
Yeah, so but they were kind of off and on friends for until 2020. They weren't, like, exclusive or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. But then, so they were going to meet in December. She was going to go to him because with his work schedule, he wouldn't be able to come out until this coming summer. So That's fair enough, right? They booked everything. Her mum knew about him. So from what we understand in the email, they were talking frequently, the usual messages, videos, everything else. And her mum was always around. The only potential negative that we're aware of here was that occasionally, rarely, he would not have a shirt on camera and her mum would see and then he'd put a shirt on. It didn't sound like it was anything inappropriate. Maybe it was just hot, you know. The mum didn't like that but was otherwise supportive. But the dad, on the other hand, didn't know he existed. And this is part of the reason we wanted to do this episode. We've done blogs on this. We've spoken about this in the past about, you know, people who don't understand long distance, don't approve of it, don't think it can work, and her dad was very much one of those people. So he doesn't understand how people can make it work, like, you know, the appeal of it, that the legitimacy of it, perhaps. He doesn't approve of it, and probably worst of all here, he didn't know that this person existed. So from the dad's point of view here, that's 3 years of activity for his daughter that he was completely oblivious to.
Yeah, and she lives with her family.
So they booked in September to meet in December, 3 weeks before that trip. So presumably sometime in November is when this listener first told her dad. But she first of all told him just that the trip was out. She was going to go on this trip. It wasn't until her mum came in the room and then said, tell about the boyfriend, and then everything escalated. Kind of get the feeling from what we've heard here that the mum, you know, put the cat amongst the pigeons, so to speak, with this. So then it was a bit of a shock to the dad. It kind of seemed a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for, like deceptive,
yeah,
of his daughter, that, you know, why haven't you told me this? There was also typical concerns that he could be lying. You've only seen pictures of his male friends. You know, how safe are you going to be? Very conservative household who felt that the man should be going to see her and she was losing her dignity by going the other way. And the other factor here was that her brother was also going to be on this trip.
With his girlfriend, is that right?
Right. So basically, him being on that trip, he was going to be looking out for his sister. But he never told his dad either. Whenever he mentioned the trip, even after the dad knew about the trip, the brother never mentioned that he would be there or he'd be looking after her. So he gave the impression to the dad that she, you know, she wasn't a factor here. He probably wasn't going to be taking much care of her. And then, you know, from this listener's point of view, I think age is very important here. She's 22, her boyfriend's 27. So we'll get to that later on. But beyond her age, she's graduated from community college. She's studying at university. She's got a job. She contributes to the household. You know, she said the reasonable thing to her dad, that she doesn't want to just end this and then have regrets and wonder what if down the line. So she wants to go ahead with this, and it's become an issue. But the December trip didn't go ahead. It was an uncomfortable conversation with her boyfriend. He had, legitimate questions of how is this going to work if this is going to be the situation, and I don't want to wait until next year when he'd be able to visit her. And then there was an apology shortly after that for how he reacted. And now the issue is being torn because this person is very, very close to their family and doesn't want to seem rebellious and like she's turning her back on them. But on the other hand, she's got a boyfriend who, understandably, she really wants to meet. So they're looking to meet this month. And the potential tension here is the boyfriend keeps asking, how do we know it's definitely going to happen after last time? You know, what's really changed? And I get the feeling from the email that we've received that there's still uncertainty from her point of view too, because while she won't get kicked out of the house or disowned, it's going to make her family treat her a little bit differently. Her dad doesn't want the boyfriend even going to them in the summer because he sees him as a negative influence. So that's it in a nutshell. And I think there's quite a lot to dig into here. I mean, the first thing for me was, the bit we spoke about quite a few times before is people have legitimate concerns about long-distance relationships, like family does, right? Like, you don't 100% know until you meet that person. And that was something I know I in particular was always really, you used to get annoyed with me when I used to say stuff like that to you, because you'd be like, well, I am who I say I am. And I always thought, until you really meet in person, there's always that, even if it's a tiny percentage of a percentage, like, you can't 100% know. So for a parent who hasn't had all the conversations, hasn't seen the pictures, hasn't been involved in it, and then you find out a few weeks before that you're going away, I think to put yourself in their shoes, it's understandable they're going to have concerns. One other thing we haven't mentioned, both of these people are in America.
Yeah,
they're on. It's not an international trip.
They're almost opposite sides of the country, not quite. But I think there's a lot to unpack here. There's dealing with your parents, timing with dealing with your parents. There's also pressures from your partner about meeting that we want to dive into a little bit. I think
there's also age.
Yeah.
At what point do you say I'm an adult?
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff that we can relate here too from our kind of situation that we went through. So firstly, there was a couple little more details I wanted to pack in there. I think obviously we had a lot to get through with it's quite an in-depth story, and obviously she wanted to give us as much detail as she could to be helpful. So I think one thing worth noting is it sounds like it was a much more difficult conversation than what we summarized when she told her boyfriend that she wasn't going to go in December. I think obviously he was extremely disappointed. Why wouldn't you be? It sounds like he let his emotions get the best of him and his reaction, but also now she's having to reassure him. And I think he's very doubtful that it sounds like the trip and they were hoping to try again in February is even going to happen. And he needs reassurance.
Yeah. But let's just chip in a little bit there, because the trip was going to happen in December. She waited until 3 weeks before the trip.
Or less than.
She said 3 weeks before the trip.
Well, that's when her dad found
that's
out.
That's what I'm
talking about.
Oh,
okay. Sorry.
She waited 3 weeks before the trip to tell her dad. But then she had multiple conversations with her dad. It wasn't a one-off conversation on that day. She had at least three conversations that we can tell from the email. Even if they happen on consecutive days, she's cancelling less than 3 weeks before that trip.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not like the boyfriend had... He may have had insight previously that, we don't know. It's possible she said to her boyfriend, look, I've got to let you know, my dad's probably not going to like this. There's a chance it's not going to happen, possibly. But either way, it was actually cancelled very close to the trip itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, he let his emotions get the better of him, but we all do. And I think it sounds like there's some justification here for him being upset, because he's 2 weeks before... He's probably taken time off work. Maybe, I don't know for sure. But, when you're that close to the trip, normally arrangements have been made. You're certainly excited about things to do. Then it gets cancelled. and it gets cancelled because of parental influence, when a lot of people would say, well, you know, it's not like you're 15 or even 17, I'd be 18. You know, you are an employed, you've graduated from college, you're studying university, you know, you're an adult in every sense of the word. So I have a large degree of understanding for the boyfriend, and I'm sure you do too, because, as you said, some of this echoes with our story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. And I think we don't want this to sound like tearing down how the person dealt with this or anything like that, but I think it's important to go through it so that they understand all perspectives, and just, you know, applies to people currently going through the situation or will be. I think the issue that really has set things off with the way the family has reacted and the dad has reacted is that not only did he not know about this boyfriend for a really long time, or a friend that she obviously had feelings for a very long time that became something more, he knew half-truths, which probably is worse than knowing nothing at all, if that makes sense. So he knew there was a trip, didn't really know what was happening with, you know, like, do you see what I'm not really saying this very well.
I feel kind of bad for this dad, because this is nothing to do with the intention of the daughter, because I don't, you know, we all kind of also, it's probably best I don't say that.
Yeah, totally.
But from the dad's point of view, it's not just this with, this has just occurred to me now, right, that it's not just that his daughter's seen this guy and he's not been told about it. His wife knew.
Yeah, and
it was
his
wife that came in the room and said, tell your dad about the boyfriend. So if that was me, I'd be feeling very isolated here. Like, why is none of my family telling me about this?
That, the brother knew as well, obviously was going to be going on the trip and hadn't clued him in on that. And also that he was being fed half-truths. So, yeah, we're going on this trip. And then suddenly there's this extra layer. Oh, and it's to meet a boy.
Well, he didn't know about that she was going on the trip until the day she told him about the trip, which was the same day.
He thought it was only the brother's trip. He knew about the trip in general, and
all we know from the email is that she told him 3 weeks before the trip that she's going on a trip, and in that conversation, the mum came in and said, tell him about your boyfriend.
Right, okay, so I've got the timeline. But so then, even then, it's clear. I'm telling you about this trip. Yeah. And then she wasn't going to say anything about the boyfriend, from what it seems like then, until the mom came in and kind of burst the bubble. So that's really difficult.
We could just say here that we totally understand this.
Oh, yeah. The
listener who's written this in, sounds maybe like we're being harsh, and we totally understand why you made these
decisions.
I literally
just said that.
Yeah, that's why I make sure everyone's clear.
Yeah, I think it's, we're just trying to dissect the situation and look at it from all angles, because, you know, this, a long distance relationship can affect, it does affect more than just the two people in it.
Yeah, and there's self-preservation here, isn't
there? Yeah.
Because if you think, I don't want to upset my dad, I'll do it for his own benefit, I won't tell him everything. And you may also think, well, if I tell that, you know, I'm really going to have a lot of grief.
Yeah, totally. And you're worried about the trip not happening.
Yeah,
and
so it's totally understandable, but it is what it is in terms of what's happened here.
Totally understandable, but was it handled the best way? No. You know, but hindsight 20, you know. Yeah, hindsight 2020.
2020, yeah.
I was going to say hindsight 20 a bitch, but that's two different sayings. So we have that issue. So dad probably felt very betrayed by everyone, and, you know, it sounds like they're quite, well, she said straight up, they're quite a traditional conservative
family. She said it's a
family.
Hispanic family, says cultural things here of perhaps expectations for men and women, sons and daughters and what have you.
So that is tricky.
The other thing here too, just on this point, while we're talking about the dad being kept in the dark, when you reach that point of something where you find out in that manner, that close to it happening, it's not uncommon for you to just become stubborn. Like, well, then, no. Like, whereas, had he, I don't necessarily mean this person in particular, because from what we understand, it wouldn't have been this way. But there's an element of, if you find out early on and you're privy to the details, you might be more understanding and say, okay, do you know what? I appreciate you being upfront. We'll go for it. Finding out in this manner can just make someone just close down and say, well, no, if you didn't want to involve me in this, well, like, no, to hell with you. That kind of thing. So this is more for other listeners. If you have, for this particular listener, where there is the cultural difference and you know the way that your family operates and what the expectations are, it sounds like that probably wouldn't have been the case. Had he found out in September, he probably would have had the same reaction. And if he'd known about this boyfriend 2 years ago, he still would have been disapproving of long distance. So, you know, maybe not. But for other people, bear in mind that how someone finds out can have a big impact on how they react.
Yeah, and my opinion is when you get to this point in life, 22, you know, 20s, and if you are still living at home, there's only so much that your parents need to know about your life, but you need to think ahead about what's going to make it easiest for you and for them too. So, for example, in our situation, my parents knew about you from the time we were like 17, but you were just a friend, you know, we weren't going to meet. They knew I had a boy I liked in England and we chatted and I stayed up late. And I remember my dad used to come into my bedroom because he got up super early to go to the gym before work. And it'd be like 4 o'clock in the morning and I'd still be up talking to you. I'd hear him get up and I'd quickly close my laptop and jump back in bed until I heard the garage door and he'd left and I'd get back on and chat to you. And so, but they knew about you. And so they had time to get used to the idea of this person. And of course, we, it sounds very similar to them. We were on and off talking friends over the years. And then it got to a point where we're like, hey, let's explore this. And they didn't really like it. It was nothing to do with you. They didn't like the idea of, same thing, me traveling around the world, me, you know, putting myself at risk, me potentially getting hurt.
Your family's also worth mentioning too, because in your early 20s, you had a curfew.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, you know, your family, maybe there's some similarities here. That,
yeah.
Because I look at this and say, and I've said this before, like my approach generally is, well, how old are you? Well, then do it anyway. Not in a disrespectful, cavalier way, but at the end of the day, your parents can have an opinion once you're past a certain age, but the decision's on you. Because my family was a bit more like that. They may not have agreed with it, but it was, you know, fine, you are... My dad in particular was, well, you're over 18, he'd have a strong opinion. He still has strong opinions, you know, even now that I'm in my 30s. But it was like, I can't stop you doing that. And my mum was always a bit more... my mum's always just been more understanding of behaviours, I think.
Yeah.
But for you, your parents, you had... Not that they weren't understanding, but you had that curfew. So maybe there's more pressure on you, even as someone in your 20s, to do as your parents requested.
I guess it's very... That's true. So it sounds like there were a lot of similarities in the strictness and the expectations from my growing up to this person's, to this listener's. But also, I was also very open with my parents, too.
Yeah.
So
there was no secrets.
Yeah. And that was on me. And not necessarily because I chose to be that way. It's because I had anxiety and I had a guilt issue if I ever felt like I was keeping secrets. This is why I never did drugs. This is why I didn't drink until I was 18. And even then, only did it once or twice until I turned... Like, I had serious guilt issues about doing something wrong and letting down my parents. And that was more my hang-up than the pressures they put on me. So... There were pressures, there were really strict rules, but at the same time, I kind of gave myself strict rules too, if that makes sense. So I completely understand her parents being involved, and I don't think it would be fair for anyone to say, well, her parents just shouldn't have a say. If you're still living at home, and you know, it sounds like she really loves her family, and they do get along, and she's family-oriented, and the last thing you want to do is upset your parents, but you also need to go after what you want.
And yeah, because you don't, because... I've got a couple of opinions on that. On the one hand, I completely agree, you know, and relationships don't always work out and your family should always be there for you, you know, so you don't want to just discard your family. On the other hand, you don't want to be resenting your family because you feel like they held you back. And if you, you know, she rightly said in that email, if she ends it now, she's always going to wonder what if.
Yeah, you know, and she will resent
her family. We've been married for kind of 10 years. Had we not done this because... outside influence said, oh no, it's not going to work out, just meet someone local, we wouldn't have had the past 10 years.
No, and do you know what, in those years between when we tried the first time and when we tried the second time, I mean, I can't speak for you, but I know for myself, there was a lot of what ifs and,
yeah, of course,
you know, other people not measuring up and me wondering, like, you know, being on a date with a guy and being like, what would this be like with Rich? What would this be like? You know, why doesn't this feel as exciting as it did when I would talk to Rich, you know, on the computer, you know, so...
It's finding that balance between, you know, respecting your parents, not just brushing your family aside and having no regard for them. You know, that respect needs to be there and the understanding needs to be there. But also finding that balance between that and I also have to be me and find what's going to work for me. Because... I think that's what good parents always want. They, you know, maybe their idea of what is good for you is different to what yours is, but ultimately they want you to be independent and happy and everything. I don't think many parents want to raise children who feel like they're super dependent on their parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do know that the Hispanic culture is very family first, but it's hard to say. Like, I had many good friends, you know, who were in Hispanic, you know, part of Hispanic families, and I only have an outsider's view, but I feel like there's more pressures in terms of sticking with the family unit and not going far and things like that. And I could be wrong, but that's been my kind of exposure mm-hmm. to it. So I can imagine the shock and concern of the parents. But I just think for this, you do need to draw a line at one point, and just you do need to be respectful to your parents. And, you know, they do deserve to know about this kind of things if you're living at home. Just to know, not to give you permission, but just to know, because you don't want to hurt their feelings and dump it all on them last minute, because then there's the matter of, well, why didn't you feel you could tell me? And, you know, I feel left out and deceived. Like, parents are just people. Like, they have those same feelings that we would have.
Yeah, well, and on that too, if you've been talking to someone for years and your parents know, some of the groundwork's laid for you, right?
Yeah.
Just because they are, over time, just aware of the fact you're talking to this person. As time goes by, oh, this person, you know, probably someone quite important to you. Not
yeah.
necessarily romantically, but if any friend who you know for that period of time becomes important to you, there comes a point in time where they probably think, when they hear that you're going to meet, they probably think, oh, that makes sense. Whereas if it gets dropped on them like a bomb that, oh, yeah, I've been talking to this person you've never heard of for 3 years, I've not told you about it. Oh, and I'm meeting them in a few weeks. Oh, and it means I'm going on this trip. Not in this case, but in other instances, internationally, that's a worlds apart. That's mm-hmm. not even at the same situation. But the other thing here echoes with us is understanding where the boyfriend sits in this, because we've got a lot of new listeners who maybe haven't heard our first episode. Our first episode is our story, and we go into the details of how we met, and part of that was when we didn't meet. So Andrew was, well, that's the other thing, that's the other similarity here too, was that you were the one doing the travelling to come mm-hmm. to me. So I suppose neither of us are really in that pressure that the listeners in of it should be me going.
I think I probably had a little bit of that, but
not
on a huge scale.
Yeah. And that wasn't because of anything other than I wasn't working and you were, so you had the money to do it and the means to do it. But that trip didn't go ahead because of me. You can get all the details in episode one. We won't go through it again now. But the point is, you then rightfully, even though it was years later, and that's the other thing we'll come back to here in a sec, but years later on when we said, okay, let's try this again, it was again you coming to me. And for quite a while, you asked the same question, like, you know, I'm a little bit nervous that you're going to...
Oh, it was a lot more than that. It's like, I'm terrified you're going to fucking break my heart again.
Right. But the point is, you still had those concerns.
Yeah.
Now, in this instance here, it's only been a month.
Yeah.
That trip was cancelled last December, and in January they're planning to meet in February. So he could very reasonably be asking, what the hell's changed in a month?
Well, and to be fair, it doesn't sound like anything has changed. Like, she hasn't resolved anything with her parents. She's just said, you know,
That's not speculation, that's in the email.
Yeah. She's still very torn, which is understandable because she doesn't want to let her parents down, but she also has to explore this relationship and not let herself down, most importantly, but also not let her boyfriend down. So I sympathize hugely. So yeah, it doesn't sound like much has changed. So he's like, okay, well, what's the resolution? And he did say to her, you know, once he kind of had his, you know, negative reaction and came, oh, I'm really sorry for that. I shouldn't have behaved that way. We need to find a solution together. So the only solution that seems to be found is, all right, well, let's book it for February. But her parents are still, or her dad's still against it. He said he doesn't really even want her boyfriend coming to see them when he can in the summer. So he's completely entitled to the feeling of, yeah, I'm scared. Like, what's actually happened here?
The thing is here too, and this is what makes this difficult, is everyone is entitled to the reactions that they've
had. Oh, yeah.
Like, no one here...
Is really being wrong.
No.
Maybe the mom a little bit. She seemed okay about it, and then threw her daughter under the bus during the conversation
with
the dad.
But the three central characters here, our listener, who's the girlfriend, the boyfriend, and dad, The brother, you could also say, is in the wrong, because if there's an arrangement with the sister that he'd look after, and then he neglects to mention that to the dad when he knows that this has come to a head. But the That's three main cool. people here, the boyfriend has been close to it happening, been told this isn't happening, and then he's rightfully got reservations that, or is it going to happen next time? And he's also got that question of, look, if this is the way it's going to be, what's our future? Right? So that's understandable. The lady who's written about this is torn between two... Lady. What did I say?
Lady. This sounds very grown up for a 22-year-old. Like, I don't even like to think of myself as a lady yet at 34.
Okay. The lady
who wrote
in and said, she's torn between two very understandable and difficult positions of course, your loyalty is to your family, who, you know, she's 22 years old, she's known them 22 years, they've been there presumably through a lot, and as you said, it's a very, very close-knit family. But also, want to see where this goes, and if you've known someone for 3 years, although I said before, you never 100% know, you have a very good idea, and feelings can certainly arise from that. So, caught in a horrible position. And then the dad, from his point of view, very, very strong set of conservative values from the sounds of it, has certain expectations of his family, but perhaps worst of all, found out that his whole family has kept something from him, and then it's dropped on him, this is happening, and it's happening really quickly.
Yeah.
So I can understand where all three of these people are coming from, and I don't want to say anyone's reacting wrong. I think in our position of a formerly long-distance couple that went through it and now lives together and closes and all that kind of stuff, it's easy for us to say the dad's in the wrong here. And I suppose I'm leaning towards that way. If he should say, look, you know, I don't agree with it, but you're 22, I trust you and everything else. But it's very hard to just, if you've got certain values and beliefs and emotions in this situation of not being involved, it's very hard to just throw them away.
Yeah, and actually I have a question for you on this, because you're much more private with your family than I ever was.
Mm.
And one of the concerns that we had early on, even when I was saving up to buy that ticket for the first trip, was that your family didn't know about me. And
they knew about you.
Not really. They didn't know that we were romantically involved. Your mom knew you had a girl that you talked to from America.
I think my dad also knew about
me. Yeah, but they didn't know what we meant to each other.
Right.
So, obviously, a slightly different situation, but just, I guess, she felt she had to keep some things back, and you kept some things back. When you actually told them about it, how was that all right? Like,
yeah, because...
You did it more for your sake.
The situation for me was like my family just likes to ask a lot of questions, and I generally quite.
You don't like to be questioned.
Yeah. And this is nothing to do with my family negatively. I remember even when I was a kid, I remember my dad had picked me up from school when I would have been, I don't know, maybe like six, like young. And he'd just, you know, he'd me and my sister, what did you do today? And my sister would normally ask, but sometimes she'd say, there'd be a pause. Oh, I don't remember. And they'd ask me, and I'd say, don't remember. And my dad and both parents would say to me, I don't believe you. What did you do today? And I remember once I asked and said, why don't you ever ask my sister why I don't believe? And they said, well, because she pauses to think. You know, she actually spends a second thinking and says, oh, I don't know. Whereas you just straight away say, I don't know. Like, I did not want to ask that question.
You don't like it.
I don't. Even today, I don't like it. So it wasn't so much... It was very selfish of me. It wasn't I'm preserving their feelings. And it certainly wasn't... They're probably not going to agree with this. It's just, how am I going to tell my parents I'm talking to someone on the other side of the world without getting grilled with questions?
And that made me feel really... I found that really hurtful. And so I can see where I can see where the boyfriend... is probably feeling, she didn't mention, the listener didn't say that he didn't like the secrecy, but just the whole situation, I can see it being hurtful and worrying to him, because I felt like, well, this relationship's going to take a whole lot of commitment, and if you can't even tell your family what I mean to you, should I be...
And I remember we had those conversations.
We did, yeah. It really upset me, and I had friends who were really worried about, like, why is he not talking to
I don't remember when I first told... I remember being my...
I think it was my parents talked to your mom.
No. I remember being at my great-nan's 100th birthday, and we were in... So, there's always a big family get-together. We were in Wales, and it would have been... That month, I think, would have been November, but I don't remember when. I remember sitting there, like, we were at the buffet, and my dad asked something, he said something, I said, oh, yeah, you're coming over. And he was joking, like, oh, where's she going to sleep? On the floor, or something like that. So, I remember that conversation, but that wasn't the first time he heard of you.
Yeah.
I didn't tell him then. So he already knew.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're going back a long time. I don't remember the exact
details. Well, I booked the tickets to come in October.
Right.
And then things fell apart, like, at the very end of November, early December, because it was right after Thanksgiving.
Right.
I remember. And at some point in there, so your parents also had to find out the magnitude of this quite quick. I mean, it was more than 3 weeks ahead of time. But I remember my parents were very like, okay, like, she's obviously not going to change her mind about this. She's decided that she's bought her ticket. And, like, I told them, I said, I'm buying a ticket. Like, and then I said, I bought it. My mom's just like, you're crazy.
That's a point I think we need to linger on. Two points we need to linger on. So, one, like you just said, my parents had to quite quickly find the enormity of it. I think the lesson here for everyone is know your family
mm-hmm.
a little bit. You know, I knew what I wasn't battling. I wasn't battling certain values.
You also weren't... They weren't putting you in danger. They had to open their home to some right. stranger.
Well, they didn't have to either. They could have said, well, yeah. she can come, she can get to the hotel.
Well, that's the thing. I remember when I went to buy my ticket, I was like, right, do you want to check with your parents? And you're like, no, it's fine. I'm like, yeah. You're like, I'll tell them. I won't ask them. And I was like, okay, well.
Yeah, so know what you're likely to get in response yeah. here. Because I knew I wasn't fighting against any values. We also had a spare room of anything like that. That was going to be an issue. So that's important.
You know? And in defense of the listener, she did know what she was up against, and that's why she felt she had to hold things back, absolutely. Which is tricky.
I just mean more generally. Yeah. I was able to hold some of that back, or it was different for me to mention it 3 weeks in advance than the listener to mention it 3 weeks in advance.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been if it was me going away, too. You know,
yes and no, because you were at uni. You weren't really living at... You were at home on breaks, so...
Despite what I'm saying here about... Yeah, okay, when I was uni, but let's say I hadn't... Let's just look at the home. If I just say in 3 weeks, by the way, I'm doing this, I don't think... I wouldn't have been told not to. It wouldn't have been a huge thing, but it would have been a shock. It would have been, oh, well, why didn't we know about this? Mm-hmm. Like, you know. So there is that. I can't put the other thing I was going to say. Well, you said something.
Well, just like knowing what your parents are like, how you're going to have to deal with it. So for you, you didn't have to really worry, but was it more for
me? It was about you buying your ticket, and you just said, I bought it.
Well, I did say, I'm going to buy a ticket.
That's right. So, and this, you know, the listener here picked this up. I mentioned this in an episode. My views, and then, you know, the context of this is what I've just been said about my upbringing. So that's just my reference for this, really, is... My general belief is that there comes a point when you're an adult of a certain age and you say, I hear you, I appreciate your concerns, it means a lot to me that you're worried about me, but this is something I have to do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're respectful with it. It's not a case of, hey, do you know what, fuck you, I'm 22, I'm going to do what I want. Like, don't do that. But for me, I think generally, you know, there will be exceptions, but handle it respectfully but approach it that way of, look, I am an adult. This is what I have to do in the way you did with mm-hmm. yours. So that, you know, that's, although I suppose, you know, the other, if we go back into empathy for the dad here, the boyfriend's 27. So that's not a huge age gap by any means, but it could be significant enough for the dad to say, when he's 27, you're 22, I'm not happy with the age gap at all. Mm-hmm. Or how come he's 5 years older, but he can't manage to come to see you. Like, you know, I can see valid,
Concerns,
yeah, not ones that couldn't be responded to, yeah. But I can see them. I can see him having valid concerns there.
I just think it's really important. It was with my family, and I think for a lot of people, it will be to just slowly drip feed them information about this person, so that when you know, the goal to meet eventually happens.
Yeah, just plant the
it's
seeds.
It's not a shock.
Yeah, just plant the seeds.
You know if someone means a lot to you. We all have, like, you know, when we were growing up, we had online friends that we never met, never intended to meet, like, just friends. And we didn't really talk about them to our parents. But, you know you have special feelings for someone, you know. And there's no reason, you know, like, if you met someone at work, your parents would probably hear, oh, yeah, I met this guy at work and I really like him.
Well, we were also, you know, you kind of drop breadcrumbs.
Yes.
You know, so.
Drip feed.
But back in our day, you know, we wrote letters to each other. So that means we're getting physical mail. Oh, who's that from? Oh, you know, and then you have the conversation. We send each other little gifts, which also meant that, oh, who is that package from? Oh, you know, that's from Andrew or whatever. So, like I said before, that's not going to be such a shock when down the line you say, oh, I'm meeting this person.
Exactly.
They probably got it at the back of their mind of, we're going to have to prepare ourselves for this.
Yeah.
You know? So, whatever, it's a different nowadays because if everything you do is online, you have to be the one to open that up. You know what I mean? You have to be the one to say, oh, hey, mum and dad, look at this funny picture or look at whatever it is. You know, they're not seeing something come through the front door to ask the question. But if you're able to, not if you're able to, I would encourage you to be a little more forthcoming about it. Just, it can be very subtle. It could just be, oh, you know, I started talking to this person recently and we still keep in touch. They're hilarious. Or, oh, you know, yeah, try and find, like, you know, if
commonalities.
Or if your mum's trying to lose weight, you might say, oh, you know, I've been talking to so-and-so and they work in that. Or they just lost, let me ask them what they did. If you can just tie it in, or, you know.
Makes them a real person.
Makes them a real person, but it's also telling your parents and your friend that this person's in your orbit, right? And then if you keep doing that over time, you're just planting these little seeds. Now, one, yeah, they become a real person, not just this abstract name. But then down the line, when you say we're going to meet, they've probably been preparing for that. And I feel like we've repeated this point a couple of times, but I think it's really important.
Yeah.
That alone could overcome an awful lot of issues and animosity because you've done the groundwork there. You know, it's just that you've given them time. You can have a conversation without having a conversation almost, you know, or you can win the battle without ever becoming a battle because all that preparation is telling your parents about this situation. And then it's not a big shock.
Yeah. And, you know, we mentioned this in the episode we did about, like, telling your parents about someone. Realistically, they shouldn't ever hear about this person right before you're going to meet them, if you're still living at home. And even if you're not, like, your parents just want to know what's going on with you and want you to be safe, so.
The thing we always say, and we've got a blog post on our website about preparing to meet for the first time. And, you know, one of the points we make in that is really all those objections and concerns your parents have really distill down into one, which is we want you to be safe. Mm-hmm. So one of the tips we give is, and this listener put this in the email that she did. She told her dad, "I'll make sure I know where the hospital is or the police station is. I'll have a backup." That is really key. If you approach your parents and just demonstrate maturity, so it's not, "Hey, fuck you, I'm going on this trip and you can just deal with it, whatever, I'm old enough." But if you go to them and you know respectfully say, "I hear you. I know why you're concerned. I have to do this, but you know, to show you that I'm serious, that I'm hearing you, I've done this, this, and this. I found a hotel I can book into if I need to. I know where the emergencies are. I know someone close by." Like, if you just show them that all the concerns they've got don't need to be concerns because you've already, like, it's just a completely different dynamic.
I think parents are always really concerned about their children being naive, like just going headlong into a situation and not thinking out those different scenarios.
Yeah.
And
I think we see a lot of that, by the way. In this community, in the long distance community, there's a lot of people I've seen who do seem very cavalier about it. It's just, oh no, I know that, I trust them. You think, well,
have you not watched Catfish?
I was just gonna say that. Yeah, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're probably right, but it's that 1 in 10 you need to prepare for. And not necessarily, like, you know, survival kit, but just know, have any back pocket.
Oh, okay, being taken advantage of, or, you know, people trying to get money out of you. Like, it may not be that your life's in danger.
So, as far as what we'd recommend for this person here.
Yes, and that hindsight 2020, but now the situation she's in.
Because I think, you know, from talking through this for the past 40 minutes, mm-hmm. I think the situation that they're really in is trying to make a decision that's got the potential to upset two people. Well, not two camps.
Yeah.
So it's hard. My feeling here is I wouldn't make any more plans for trips with the boyfriend until you're 100% confident that it's going to go ahead. Because it's not fair on him. And not only is it not fair on him, that means he's going to keep responding negative and increasingly negatively every time they cancel, which is going to come back to you as stress and guilt and whatever, which is then going to transfer to the parents as resentment. So it affects everyone in the worst possible way. So I feel like you need to have either more conversation with the parents to say, look, okay, cancel the December one, potentially the February one. We don't know what's happening with February. I did that because I understand your concerns here. You know, I don't want you to feel like I'm disrespecting values or this, that, and the other. The reason that it's me going to see him is because of this. We're in the same country. I've looked into all these backups. I hear your concerns. I really want your blessing on this, but, you know, it's something I have to do, and I'll do it anyway, and I hope you can support me anyway. That kind of conversation, they're either going to come back and say, let me think about it, I'm sure they'd appreciate the honesty on their own, don't you think? Or they might just say, okay, or they'll say no. If they say yes, let me think about it, you're probably okay to, you know, it's encouraging. If they say no, then it's easy for you in the sense you know where you stand. You can either then say, okay, then my decision is I will honour that, and I will never do long distance again, which really isn't fair, I would say.
No.
Or you say, okay, well, that's not fair on me, you're not letting me live my own life, and I'm going to do it anyway. But you know where you are, you need to have that. That needs to be in place before you can make any more plans for trips.
Yeah.
And get your boyfriend's hopes up.
I have slightly different advice on this, but I think it's very similar.
That just sounds really confusing.
No, it's along the same vein, but I would just handle it differently. And I think it would be more along the lines of, look, I want to talk to you about this. I know I handled it really badly last time, and you should not have found out in the way you did. I had concerns about how you were going to react, and while I feel like the situation proved me right, I had a hand in why it turned out the way it did. So I accept responsibility for that. You know, I've been thinking, I need to meet this person, and I want to be much more upfront with you this time about how that's going to happen. I want your blessing. I don't need it. I am going to go ahead and do this anyway, but I don't want to continue the bad blood. So, you know, you don't have to support me, and I'll understand, but I'm of a certain age. This person means a lot to me, and I hope you know how much this person means to me by what I'm willing to risk to explore this. So I'd be a little bit more sturdy in standing up for myself, but taking fault, because she did kind of handle it badly. Again, no judgment there. We all handle things badly because we want to try and maneuver for the best outcome, but it blew up in our face a little bit. So
no, I like how you'd handled it. And the other thing that you could say, the question that really can overcome a lot of issues is you just say, what would make you more comfortable with this? What can I do? So, because just by saying that really shows maturity on your part, and it shows them, it kind of puts the ball in their court, because if they say all nothing, then they're being unreasonable.
Yeah.
Right? So, for us, for example, your parents spoke to my parents.
Yeah.
They needed that to feel, and then, you know, when they did that, it's like, okay, this is a real family.
Yeah.
Because then I could have been a murderer or whatever. I could have been catfishing you, but it's like, well, his parents probably aren't in on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is anything that your dad or whoever listening to this, your parents, what would make them feel better? What would make them feel reassured? If there's, have some things as suggestions too. Like you could say, if they say, well, nothing, I'm just not happy, that you can say, well, would you like to talk to him on the phone? We can arrange your FaceTime. would you like to talk to the parents? Would you like to... Would you like to see where I'm staying? I'll show you on Google Maps
or even say... nothing. If they say nothing's going to make me feel bad, it's like, okay, well, take a beat, have a think, and let me know, and I'll try to work in your suggestions to my plans.
Yeah, absolutely. But the point is, it shows them that you're willing to listen, and it shows it means something to you. It's not some rebellious spur of the moment, I'm going on a trip. If you can say, okay, well, look, while you think about this, I've had a think about what concerns you may have, and I've written down, here's the hotel, here's where I'm staying if you want to look it up on that, here's the nearest such and such, here's the airport I'll be flying to. Those kind of things, if they can just see, like, wow, you've put a lot of thought into this, you're considering our point of view, you're showing us that you're mature and putting your safety first, and you're not just running head first into this romantic endeavor, like, you can win so much goodwill.
And I mean, I kind of had to do that with my parents. It was, okay, well, we need to talk to his parents, okay? And your mom was very much like, she'll stay in a separate bedroom. We knew that your mom wouldn't have forced that once I was there, but I had a separate bedroom to stay in.
And you did literally have one.
Well, yeah, but that was a lot later. I mean, I was a lot older. My parents weren't as concerned then. But
I'm saying, even when you were older and you did come over, my mum did genuinely make up the spare bedroom for you. So it wasn't just something said to...
And she said, like, even if you just need some time, some space to yourself, even if things go great, like, and we also had a neighbor who was English, and her brother lived not far from where you lived. And so my parents spoke to them. I had the phone number. I had a credit card in case I needed to go stay in a hotel somewhere. Like, we had contingency plans.
And I think that's the thing. Like, just demonstrate that.
Well, she has, though. But he didn't, I guess.
No, I mean, there's general advice.
Yeah.
The general advice is just demonstrate to them that, because parents, from what I understand, from what I hear from parents, is they always see you as their kids.
Yeah.
And if you can show to them, hey, I'm an adult, and I've thought about this, and I've done everything that you taught me to do to keep myself safe.
Well, I suppose the disheartening thing for this listener is that she did all these things. She had excellent planning and good judgment going into this. But the
communication wasn't.
Well, yeah. So when she dropped the bomb, or the bomb was dropped on her dad, none of that mattered because the whole thing was just a shock. So he's sitting there trying to process, and she's like, well, but I'm being safe, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And he's just like, you've lied to me, everyone's lied to me, and, no, because of the way I believe as well. So his values are against it, his beliefs are against it, and he's been deceived. It's a lot. So you're just much better off planning these things ahead. But such is such, that this is the situation now that she's in. So I would recommend that she does something along the lines of what either Rich has said or I have said in terms of how you handle it now and salvage it. The last thing to touch on quickly, when we were reading this email, I was actually getting really, really concerned about the boyfriend and the way he reacted. But then she quickly, the next paragraph was, he then came back and apologized and
said... Even with that, it didn't sound like he had a massive tantrum. He just got
disappointed. But no, but he was... It was more...
This is always going to be the point. Should we end the
No, but there was a line in there in the email that said, like, if... You're not committed to me and you don't love me if you don't come and do this. Was along the line. So that... But... Then the next paragraph was, then he came back and said, look, I'm really sorry we acted that way. I was upset. I didn't mean those things. Let's figure this out together. So before that paragraph came in, I was like, run. This guy's awful. He doesn't sound to be actually. But just on that, if you're being pressured to meet in a certain way or being told that your feelings mean something or don't mean something based on your actions, then that's something to be very concerned about. And I'm not saying that that's what this guy did. I'm just saying that before I read the whole story, that's what I thought was happening. It definitely seems not to be. But, if it's come meet me or, nothing else is going to, that's a worry.
Yeah.
It needs to be much more organic and it needs to be much more supportive and loving than that. You shouldn't feel like you're being pressured to do it because it is an awful big step, especially if you're the one going, especially if it's a big distance. Either way, not just if you're the girl, if a guy is being told by a girl, like, you don't love me if you don't come and see me, then that's manipulation and...
We have an episode on that.
We do.
A recent episode in the Inappropriate Behaviours
series. Yeah. It's tough, man. Like, I can see completely why this listener reacted or acted in the way she did to the situation. Obviously, it didn't turn out very well. Can't always, this whole episode we've been saying, kind of try and gauge what's going to work and what isn't. Yeah. Your parents can surprise you.
her heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
And that's always the sad thing. When your heart's in the right place and then it still goes wrong, you think, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, look, for anyone else who needs more advice on this, we have the blog post I mentioned, but I think it's called Preparing to Meet for the First Time.
I think so, yeah.
And also our ultimate guide, we have loads of information there about preparing to meet, the conversations to have with friends and family and how to help them get more comfortable with the idea of it, because they're preparing to meet, things to do, keeping safe. We've got loads of information on that. So if you need that resource, you know, feel free to get that guide, dig through the website, or get in touch with us if there's anything additional that you want us to cover like we have today.
Absolutely. And good luck. It's a rough road.
It is.
Bye.